My name is Scott Solomon. I'm a professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and Brigham and Women's Hospital and a cardiologist in Boston, Massachusetts. And I'm here today with Dr. Orly Vardeni, who's a professor of medicine and pharmacy at the University of Minnesota and the Minneapolis VA Hospital, and Dr. Ankit Bhatt, who's a cardiologist at Brigham and Women's Hospital and a senior fellow in medicine and cardiology at Harvard Medical School. Welcome, Orly and Keith. Well, today we're going to be talking about influenza and cardiovascular disease. And obviously, cardiologists, cardiovascular practitioners are not generally used to thinking about infectious diseases, although, of course, we've been thinking a lot more about infectious diseases recently. But we have realized that influenza is a disease that puts our patients at risk. And maybe I can start out by asking Orly, why should cardiologists, cardiovascular practitioners be concerned about influenza in our patient population?
That's a great question. The increased awareness of this interplay between infectious disease and influenza in particular and cardiovascular disease comes from a number of studies in recent years showing a temporal association between an infection, such as influenza, and acute cardiovascular events, such as acute myocardial infarction or acute heart failure. So that realization has led to the knowledge that it takes something like an infection to destabilize a cardiac patient and may place them at higher risk for complications, both from influenza and secondary infections, but also from their underlying cardiovascular condition.
And Orly, aren't we already vaccinating our patients, or are we not doing so well? You've looked at this, haven't you, in some of the large clinical trials?
We have looked at this in a large trial called the PARADIGM-HF trial, which enrolled over 8,000 people with heart failure with reduced ejection fraction. Our data show that only about 50% or slightly less individuals, and these are patients with heart failure, received influenza vaccination, which is well below what is optimal, considering that these patients should all be receiving vaccination.
Ankit, what do the guidelines currently say about what we should be doing with our patients at high risk, and how are we doing with respect to those guidelines for influenza vaccine?
Yeah, thanks, Scott, and thanks, Orly, and for the ACC for organizing. I think you're absolutely right, and the point that Orly just brought up about optimizing cardiovascular care, I think, is a critical one. If you look at the guidelines, there is support for routine influenza vaccination suggested within the ACC, AHA, and HFSA guidelines. These are high-risk cardiovascular patients. When we look at the corollary to what Orly looked at in a clinical trial population and look at get with the guidelines, which is a number of hospitals spread across the U.S., and ask the question, what do influenza vaccination rates look like? We see a similar trend. There are large gaps in the most high-risk patients in which we have an opportunity to give influenza vaccination and are not doing that. More telling, I think, is that when we look year on year from 2012 to 2016, we actually see that the number of patients refusing vaccination, these are eligible patients who refuse, has been rising. And so those are concerning trends that I think we all have to take on ourselves as practitioners to try to mitigate.
So let's talk about that issue for a second. And Orly, maybe you can tell us, are there any real risks to vaccination, and why would people be refusing them? Is there a downside to being vaccinated for influenza?
So vaccinations have been used for many years and are extremely safe. There are known mild side effects after getting vaccinated that are usually self-limiting, but they do occur, and in some patients may be more severe than in others, and these include muscle ache, a headache, fatigue for 24 to 48 hours after becoming vaccinated. And it's possible that maybe an underappreciation that that can happen has led to a misperception that the vaccine itself causes the flu or causes influenza. Folks might believe that their symptoms are actually caused by the vaccine and they might actually have the infection from the vaccine itself. Obviously, this is something that is high on the list in terms of vaccine hesitancy, why people refuse the vaccine. That's likely the main reason is thinking that the vaccine causes the flu. Next is attributing a side effect that may not have been anticipated from the vaccine itself. So those are kind of the main reasons why people tend to refuse vaccine.
And Orly, does it matter where people get their vaccines or what specific vaccine? I know there are a number of vaccines on the market.
So in terms of where they get their vaccine, we advocate for anywhere you can. The most important thing for these high-risk patients to be able to do is to have multiple avenues where there are opportunities to become vaccinated. So whether that's at their primary care offices, at their pharmacy, at their places of employment, at their cardiologist's offices, providing an opportunity anywhere that's possible where there might be chances of interaction with these patients is key. In terms of your question of what specific influenza vaccination to get, as you know, there are numerous formulations that differ based on how the vaccine is prepared. For example, in egg, which is the vaccine that most of us get, there's a recombinant vaccination. There's a vaccine that has an adjuvant that is meant to increase the immune response to the vaccine. And then there's different dosages. There's a high dose vaccine that contains 4 times the amount of antigen that's approved for older adults. And there's a standard dose vaccine. At the end of the day, though, the most important thing is for patients to get vaccinated. There's no recommendation or preferential recommendation at this point for one vaccine over another.
And you said something that struck me. You should get it anywhere, even at your cardiologist's office. So, Ankit, are you vaccinating patients in the cardiology office or at least identifying those people who perhaps haven't had their vaccine? We cardiologists don't usually give vaccines routinely anymore.
Yeah, Scott, thanks for that question. And I think you're absolutely right. This is not something that we have previously prioritized. But in this current environment, I think it's critical that cardiologists are engaging with patients about vaccination. You know, as cardiologists, we have one real goal, which is cardiovascular risk mitigation in our patients with known or suspected or at risk for cardiovascular disease. And vaccination is a part of cardiovascular risk mitigation in my mind. And so we should be actively participating in promoting vaccination during our clinic visits. And our clinics should be offering access to routine, simple vaccination for patients. And I'll echo what Orly said is that at the end of the day, vaccination in whichever form you can get it, at whichever site you can get it, is the key message here. And we should be proactive in educating patients to that regard, providing adequate access in our clinics and in our community with that regard. But also physicians need to be actively promoting vaccination to our patients during clinic visits.
Well, in the last few minutes, let's talk about the problem of the day. Of course, we're dealing with another infectious disease, COVID-19. And although we don't have a vaccine for COVID-19 yet, I think we would all agree that it's especially important in this setting that patients get an influenza vaccine. Orly, can you tell us a little bit about why that is the case, number one? And number two, are there any concerns about influenza vaccine in the setting of COVID-19? And perhaps even, are there any barriers to getting the flu vaccine that didn't exist before COVID-19?
Sure. These are great points to bring up. And we really are living in an unprecedented time where we are coming up on the fall season, which we will have 2 co-circulating viruses, both influenza and COVID-19. And because we don't have a vaccine for COVID-19, and we do have a vaccine for influenza, it's important to try to at least mitigate some risk for an infection where it is available as a preventive measure to get vaccinated. So from that standpoint, it is especially important to get vaccinated during this season where patients may get influenza or they may get COVID-19. We want to reduce their risk as much as possible, especially those with cardiovascular disease, as we discussed. During this time when people are not going out as much, there may be hesitation to try to go to offices to get vaccinations. And it's important to educate that the small risks of leaving the home and going to get a vaccine is definitely outweighed by the benefit of the protection from the vaccine itself.
And Keith, it's not just our elderly, sick or cardiovascular patients who should get influenza vaccine, correct? Should we not be encouraging everyone to get vaccine because of the potential risks of transmission?
Yeah, Scott, I think if there's one thing that we've learned in our current climate is that there's a link between infectious disease and cardio and cardiopulmonary health. And so, and this applies to everybody. You've seen it in the news now with COVID-19. And I think while we're doing lots of things that we're learning on the fly with COVID-19, there's one thing for certain, is that we should maximize and support the best cardiovascular and cardiopulmonary substrate we can have in all patients. And so, you know, we would recommend that patients undergo routine early vaccination, irregardless of age or comorbidity burden.
Great. Well, I just want to thank you both. It sounds like we really have a one-shot deal for improving cardiovascular health in our patients. And I'd like to thank Dr. Bardeni and Dr. Bhatt and the ACC for organizing this podcast.
Thanks very much for having us.
Thank you very much.